kids that come to our camp, you know, I tell them, I'm like, look, if we're in there to see you, we watch you from the second you get out of your car, the second you get back in your car. You know, we're watching how you treat your parents. We're watching what you do pregame. We're watching what you eat at the concession stand. You know, all those things, they're all important.
No good player has ever said, well, who else is going to be the shortstop? The best players just say, sign who you want. I'm going to beat them, right?
And the other thing for baseball players, if you want to be a great baseball player and play at the highest levels, then be an athlete first.
Hello and welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, where the coaches hang out with Walter. Today's podcast is brought to you by the Baseball Blue Book. If it has to do with baseball, it has to be in the book. The question for you, are you in the book? Now let's join our host, Walter Beattie.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner, where each and every Thursday, Coach Serrano and myself take some time and we talk to coaches from around the country, all levels, all divisions. Coach Serrano is back in California, spending some time with family. And today, we're going to kind of continue on our Division II theme. And you know, we've talked to Chris Shank at Southern New Hampshire. And today we're going to talk about a university that is in the south, the southernmost part of Florida, Miami University, which you would think baseball in Miami, they go together like peanut butter and jelly. We're going to talk to Coach Brett Young, the head coach at Barry University. Coach, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Walter. You know, excited to talk baseball and talk about Barry and, you know, kind of all things Division II.
Well, I think it's really important that we start off. You know, a lot of parents, and it's not for lack, they're underinformed because they really don't hear enough of NCAA Division II. We talk academics in Division III and we talk athletics Division I, but Division II not only offers a really great academic opportunity, but athletically, it's really an elite division of baseball. And I'd like you to start us off with talking about not only Barry University, but, you know, the schools and the conference that you play in and the schools you play against.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. Is, you know, from my experience, you're getting the best of both worlds with the high athletics, being in the Sunshine State Conference, with being a private school education. Which all the schools in our conference are private. So you really get tailored, you know, academic stuff and what you're trying to accomplish as a student athlete. And then you get, in my opinion, you know, the best Division II conference in the country for baseball, and the, you know, playing Tampa's, Rollins, St. Leo, you know, Lynn, Nova. I mean, I could, every team in our conference, top to bottom, you know, we don't ever have a weekend off. There is no such thing as a weekend off in the SSC. And if you don't come prepared to play every week, you know, you're going to go home 0-3, which is not ideal. So, I mean, it's fun to be around. It's, you know, highly competitive. I would compare it, you know, talent level wise to an upper mid-major Division I level of talent, you know, that we have in this conference and within our program here at Barry.
Well, you know, all it takes is one quick look, and we're going to dive into this a little bit deeper, hopefully in our conversation. But, you know, we look at the roster and you see a blend of multiple countries. We see Florida athletes, we see some West Coast athletes, we see a lot of, like, what I call mid-Atlantic, New Jersey. So Barry University, when you're recruiting, you're not just recruiting in the baseball hotbed of Florida. It's really not only a domestic but an international type of roster that you assemble.
Yeah, we have guys from all over the United States. You know, our left fielder is from Venezuela. He's actually a former professional player with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And, you know, being Division II, professional players are allowed to come back and play Division II. It's, and the NCAA has different guidelines on how long they have to sit out, you know, before they're eligible to play and how much eligibility they've used. You know, in our case, Kevin Noriega came in, had to sit his first year. Coming out of pro ball, he had signed at 15 out of Venezuela and came here when he was 19, sat his first year, and then he's played for us the last 2 years, and then he'll graduate this year, you know, as a senior in college. And, He was a second team all conference guy for us, you know, 25 extra base hits, you know, switch hitter. He's the real deal, man. And I'm hoping he'll have a shot to move on to the next level too. So, you know, we're all over the place. We have a JV program here too. One of our catchers on the JV team is from Japan. So, you know, we go all over. We don't just try to recruit out of South Florida or the state of Florida. We want to go all over the country and bring in the best talent we can, you know, and compete to win an SSC title and obviously compete for a national title.
You know, a few of those teams that you just kind of rattled off there, University of Tampa, Rollins, St. Leo's, not only are they steeped, as is Barry University, in baseball tradition, but we're talking about programs that year in and year out are usually in that Final Four of the College World Series at the Division II level. So when you say there's no weekends off, there's literally no weekends off. And I'd love for you to talk about the caliber of talent, because you have student athletes that are transferring up to Division I. You have student athletes that graduate and are playing professionally. So when we talk about Barry University, not only are we talking about tremendous facilities, amenities, and coaching staff, but it's a tremendous opportunity to become the best version of yourself as a student athlete.
Yeah, and we pride ourselves on player development. You know, that's a huge thing here. And look, being outside in Miami, I was outside putting our new batting turtle together today. It's 80 degrees in December. You can't beat it. So our guys aren't stuck inside, you know, taking ground balls on turf in an indoor facility or just getting swings in a cage. We're on that field 365, you know, and our guys take advantage of that. So, you know, the big conversation I had with one of our JUCO guys coming in and you know, JUCO, there's no set rules of how much they can practice. So they go as long as they want each day for as long as they want. The NCAA restricts us in the amount of hours we're allowed on the field with these guys. And, you know, Flex came to me, you know, midway through the fall, and he's like, man, it was a learning curve figuring out how to do things on his own outside of practice time. But he's like, it's actually been a lot of fun figuring out ways for me to get all of my work in and take some responsibility and some ownership in it, you know, to where it's enjoyable. Like I said, and you're outside in 80, 90 degrees all through the fall. There's plenty of opportunity to get better. And, you know, we've done a good job of that here at Barry. You know, we had four guys leave our program this past year and went on to Division I. Two were graduate transfers that went on to Georgetown and Gardner-Webb. And then we had freshman of the year in our conference transferred out, along with another pitcher up to Division I. So, you know, we've done a good job of developing a talent, and I'm not going to hold a kid back from the opportunity. You know, if he has a chance to move up to a good Division I program and obviously improve his draft stock, then I'm going to help that kid do that. You know, we just ask that when they're here, they give us everything they got while they're in a Barry uniform and on our campus.
You know, Brett, I want to talk to you a little bit about your recruiting preferences. You know, the portal now is such a hot topic. You know, whether it's the portal or the JUCO, the high school student athlete, talk a little bit about the type of student athlete that you as a staff try to recruit, and how active of a role does the high school graduate play in your recruiting plans?
So we haven't done a whole lot in the portal. You know, look, I want to recruit the best of the best. So myself and my staff, we are out pretty much every weekend recruiting and recruiting all over the country. You know, my assistant's flying to Puerto Rico this weekend to go recruit. So, you know, we work really hard at it, and we want to bring in, you know, not only good baseball players, but we want to bring in good students and good people. You know, we got to find the right fit too. You know, like, look, myself, a Northeast guy from New Jersey, my one assistant's from the Bronx, the other assistant is from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So we're a lot of ties up north, and, you know, we're maybe a little more, we're going to be upfront with you, you know, and we're going to tell the players how it is. And look, I think it shocks a little, some of them in the beginning, but they get to understand, like, hey, these guys are being honest with me. Like there's no, you know, saying one thing and doing another, and they come to appreciate it, you know? So we got to find the right type of guy that can handle that too. And not, you know, as I call, like, turtle shell up anytime, you know, we have a tough conversation. And we're not screaming and yelling coaches. That's not how we like to do things. I want to have a conversation with my guy. I want feedback. I want input from the players. So we try to find some mature players, you know, and the high school route and the JUCO route's been a big part of it, you know, and had a lot of success with both of those levels. We've had the number one recruiting class in the country the last 3 years now with the high school guys, you know, as far as what the PG rankings that they're putting out there. So we take a lot of pride in that, that, you know, we're bringing in some high level talent that, you know, is going to help us, you know, compete and win a bunch of games. And same with the JUCO route. You know, I believe we had the number three recruiting class in the country last year for the JUCO guys coming in, and we wanted to bring in winners. It's really important for us to recruit from programs that win, you know, and we had talked earlier about, you know, Gloucester County College in New Jersey, and we have three players from there. They won a national title last year, you know, and to me, winning is a learned skill, just like anything else. You don't just wake up one day and okay, I know how to win this tough game now, and I know how to do that in the postseason and obviously compete for a World Series title is what, you know, we have our sights set on.
Well, I think it's really great, you know, being from the Northeast, you know, we call it, you know, when we say don't turtle, don't half step, being direct, mm-hmm. being, you know, really honest and candid. I think we need more of that in baseball, particularly baseball recruiting. Yep. I'd love for you to share, you know, you're 3 years in at Berry University.
Yes.
The direction of college baseball, more importantly, the developmental role that it now plays with regard to professional baseball. It's not just Division I. It's all levels of college baseball, including JUCO. Tell us about, from Berry University's perspective, do most of your recruits or most of your athletes, do they aspire to play professionally? And how do you help them prepare with regard to daily routines, discipline, skill set development, things like that?
Yeah, that's one of the questions I ask when I'm recruiting a kid. And I want the answer to be, I want to play professional baseball. You know, in all honesty, I don't want the kid that his goal is to get to Berry University. I want Berry University to be a stepping stone for our players, you know, hopefully into professional baseball. You know, if not, and they come in and they tear it up their first 2 years, and we can help push them on to a, you know, a Power Five that the opportunity to be drafted is probably higher than being at a Division II school, then we're going to help them with that route too. And, you know, the player development piece is huge. You know, that's really what we focus on and getting those guys to the next level.
And do you have any particular philosophy when it comes to collegiate summer baseball now? I know that's kind of taken on a different kind of meaning for some coaching staffs. Mm-hmm. Do you send a lot of guys out to the summer collegiate leagues?
Yeah, we try to, and I leave it up to the guys. You know, the pitchers, we have some more conversations. Like, you know, we try to get them placed this time of year, but also let them know, hey, if you throw 75, 80 innings, we probably don't want you going away for the summer to pitch, you know, just from a workload standpoint. And for me, I want our guys to go out and compete, and some of these summer leagues around the country are really good, and the guys are going to play some high-level talent, you know, just like they do in our conference. And that's how you get better, man. Sometimes you get beat up a little bit, and that's okay. And, you know, you learn to compete against these guys that are, look, they're all trying for the same thing as our guys are. They all want to get to the next level and have aspirations of playing professionally. And I want our guys to go out and compete in those atmospheres and play in front of 3,000 people and, you know, a Northwoods League in the summer. And, you know, we had one of our guys that transferred out, went to the Cape Cod League and is now at Georgetown. Like, you know, that's, I think it's good for those guys to be in those environments.
You know, when it comes to identifying potential student athletes at Berry University, when is that occurring? Is that, you know, occurring at the completion of the sophomore year? When are you going out as a staff and trying to identify potential student athletes that may fit at Berry University?
We're about a year out, you know, from the graduating class. So we're just starting on the 2025s now. Really trying to get out as much as we can and identify kids in that class. And, you know, we put them on our board and, you know, obviously we're going to try to go out and see those guys multiple times, you know, throughout this coming spring. And next summer is our biggest time, you know, to sign like the 2025 class, and wrapping up the 24s right now, kind of as we speak, and we'll add a couple more for our JV program. So usually about a year out. And, you know, look, like I said, I want to recruit the best of the best, and I want to go after the kid that has the aspirations of going to a Power Five, and for whatever reason it doesn't work out. You know, I want to be able to get that kid, as opposed to, you know, committing a kid that's going into his junior year that is just happy being at a Division II, you know, for for us, I need the best possible player I can get with being a good student and a good person. That's going to fit into how we do things here at Barry, which is to a high standard. And, you know, it takes a while to find that right fit. You know, it's not guys that we want to see them one time and offer them and try to commit them right away.
You know, one of my good friends is Jason King, and he spent a lot of time at Franklin Pierce, which is a Division II school up here. I used to kid him all the time that, you know, you'd have a roster, you know, of about 80 guys and half were in a JV team. And, you know, when you say JV to a parent at the college level, they shake their head. And I'm trying to get people to understand it's more prevalent than you think. But let's talk NCAA Division II.
Yep.
How many scholarships are you dealing with, and what is your average roster size, both at the varsity level and as well as the JV level?
Yeah, so at the varsity level, the NCAA allows 9 scholarships. We are not fully funded. We're at 8.5. So, you know, about a half scholarship than what the most would be. You know, we're going to carry about 40 guys on the varsity roster. It gets a little bit tricky just because when we travel, we can only travel 30. We can only dress 27 for conference games. So, you know, we're going to carry a little bit heavier on the arm side just because, look, injuries happen that you weren't expecting, and we want to be able to have that depth, you know. And that's where Division I's at right now, too, with the COVID stuff. They're at the 40-man roster. Right. So we'll be at that 40. The JV, we're going to carry somewhere between 30 to 35 guys. And for us, you know, we really value that JV program. We started it 3 years ago. We're in the middle of our fourth year with it. And it's grown from 9 guys on the team the first year to where it's at now. And we run it like it's a AAA, and our varsity team is the big league team. And we only allow freshmen and sophomores on it. And the big key there is the development piece. You know, we might bring in a guy that, you know, he's 86, 88, but the kid's 6'5", but 170 pounds. And we know with 15, 20 pounds, this guy's going to be a 90 arm with the way that arm works, and let him come in, and he's going to get 25 games in the spring to develop. You know, the hitters are going to get 75 to 100 at-bats. And for us, the learning curve and the development of those younger guys it's gone through the roof, as opposed to a kid that's just sitting on the bench, practicing with varsity, maybe redshirting. They don't develop as fast as the kid that's getting that time on the JV. You know, the only knock is it does count as a year of eligibility, but at the same time, you're getting all those at-bats. You're getting the game experience. You know, for us, DJ Price is my recruiting coordinator. He's the head coach of the JV also. So they're getting coached by the varsity coaches and understanding what we're doing at this level. And about 20% of our varsity roster is guys that came through that JV program. And we had a JV kid last year that was the shortstop on JV, and he played so well, he ended up bumping, you know, a couple of our guys and made the travel roster and the active roster of 25 guys in the regionals last year. So if they do well, we're going to take advantage and bring them up and give them an opportunity.
Well, I think it's really, in my opinion, this is tremendous insight for families that may be going through this process as either a 24 or, you know, a 25 or possibly a 26. And I'd like you to discuss, Brett, because you've lived this as an athlete. You now live it as a coach. I'd love for you to talk about how truly competitive the college environment is above and beyond high school, meaning we have high school athletes that play travel baseball. You get into college, just because you're an infielder doesn't mean there are only going to be 2 infielders for the 3 or 4 years you're in college. Every day is a competitive environment at the collegiate level. And I'd love for you to discuss that in light of what you just talked about with your shortstop.
Yeah, and for us, that key word is that competitive. We want to compete every day in practice. And look, the way we do recruiting here at Barry is we recruit through the middle of the field. So, you know, catcher, pitcher, shortstop, center field is typically how we like to recruit. And then we might bring in, you know, 3 shortstops. You know, we brought in the shortstop from Gloucester County College last year that won a national title. Let him come. He came in this fall and he competed with our guy that was really good for us, you know, as a shortstop last year. And look, they loved it. They fed off each other. They battled every day in practice. We get to spring. One of them's going to play shortstop. The other one's going to slide over to second base. You know, our starting second baseman last year, really, really good player. You know, baseball IQ off the charts. He's going to slide over to third base for us this year. You know, just trying to put the best possible lineup we can together. But yeah, they have to bring it every day, just like I talked about with our conference schedule. You know, we try to do something in practice every day where those guys are competing and getting after it, and they have fun with it. You know, whether it's one-on-one stuff or group stuff, you know, we want to make an atmosphere and have these guys in situations where they have to perform, not just come in and, you know, okay, we're going to take BP for 45 minutes and we'll take some ground balls and be done. That's not how we do things here, man. It's fast paced, and, you know, we try to stick to the practice plan for the day, but we want it competitive. You know, like I talked about, it's learning how to win is a skill, and you can start to learn that in a practice setting too.
Now, do you, as a staff, do you run camps? How do a lot of student athletes get in front of the Barry University coaching staff? Do they come down, fly down from wherever they live and attend camps? Do they send you schedules? How do you begin to interact with potential student athletes?
The number one way is honestly referrals is a huge one, you know, and myself and my staff, we have connections all over the place. So when coaches that we respect reach out and say, hey, you need to take a look at this guy, I'm going to make time, you know, to go see that kid play. And the first step usually is an email. Kids will send some video. We'll check that out. Oh, his swing looks pretty good. Or, you know, that kid's arm action is pretty good. I want to get out and see what he does, you know, in a live situation against batters in a game. So, you know, that's number one. Number two, we're going to get out and see him play live. Usually what we do, we don't run a ton of camps. We'll usually run two in the summer and then one in the fall. And we try to really keep it to about 30 to 40 kids in those camps that we think could potentially really play for Barry and try to get them to come down from, you know, up and down the East Coast, Midwest. We have kids coming from California. And then obviously you have, you know, the local South Florida talent within a, you know, couple, 3-4 hours that come in for camps too. And, you know, that's where we want to get to know the kids at camp and have conversations with them and, you know, walk them around campus and let them ask questions and, you know, get to know the person alongside being a, you know, a good baseball player.
Now talk a little bit about the fall. Is there a bigger fall roster? Is it a very competitive environment? You know, a lot of parents want to now take a deeper dive into, you know, the freshman fall for a lot of student athletes. So how competitive are there games being played? Are you playing against other programs? What is a typical fall like for the Barry University program?
So our guys come in like the last week of August, and about the first 3 to 4 weeks, we'll do what we call indies, individuals. So we'll have small group settings. At that point, we're only allowed 8 hours a week with the guys. So 4 of them are going to be in the weight room. You know, they jump right into the weight room 4 days a week. We have a full-time strength coach. All of our guys, you know, we're lucky with our guys. They lift during the day. So they come to us and say, all right, we have an 8 o'clock, an 11 a.m., and a 1 p.m. lift. They can pick which lift they want to go in, and then they build their class schedule around that. So we do cap it at 24 guys per lift. So we have JV and varsity guys lifting together throughout the fall, which has been beneficial for us. The guys get to know each other. It's not two separate teams. You know, these freshmen are going to be with, you know, with COVID and the logjam, you know, we have a 25-year-old on our team. So we have 18-year-olds with 23, 24, 25-year-olds and getting to know each other. So, and then we'll have 4 hours a week on the field those first 3 or 4 weeks. And we break it down. We'll have an offensive day. We'll have a defensive day. We'll have a hybrid day where we kind of do a little bit of both. And then we get into our 45-day window where we can do team practice. At that point, we jump up to 15 hours a week. So it stays to 4 in the weight room, and then we go to 11 on the field. And we usually go Monday through Friday. It rains down here a lot in the fall. So if we lose days, we'll schedule Saturday or Sunday if we need to. And we do have to give them 2 days a week off. And that includes lifts. So usually we'll go Wednesday and Sunday off. You know, if it looks like the weather's going to cooperate, if the weather's going to be bad, then we'll try to get it in Monday through Friday. And then they would have Saturday and Sunday as their 2 days off. We do play outside competition. We're allowed 3 games. So we played a couple of the JUCOs, and we played St. Thomas University, a really good NAIA, about 15 minutes from us. And same with the JV. The JV played 3 outside competition games against some post-grads. You know, and again, it's a recruiting tool for us to get those post-grads on campus and see what those guys have. And, you know, travel organization came down and played the JV. Same thing. It's a recruiting tool for us that way too. So, and then after the 45 days is up, we go back into that indie period with the 8 hours a week. And We'll do that all the way up to the week before finals, and we can't touch them the week of week before the week of finals, which is going on right now.
When does the regular season start at the NCAA Division II level?
So we open up February 1st. So our guys come back to school. They'll start coming back in. We have a lot of out-of-state guys, so they'll come in on January 9th. We'll start practice on January 10th. And, you know, classes for us don't start until January 16th this year. So we'll have, you know, about 5 days where we can really get after it and focus on the baseball side and get our guys, you know, which I'm sure they're going to do over break anyway, but back in the weight room. And, you know, about 3 weeks to get ready for that opening weekend, you know, and we do a round robin down here the first two weekends every year. So ourselves, Lynn University, Nova Southeastern, Palm Beach Atlantic, we host four teams that come in and they bounce between the four of us over 4 days. So we're going to open up with Wingate, North Greenville, Catawba, and Washburn, you know, which are all four our perennial top 25 teams in the country.
Just going to say Wingate, we're talking big time baseball. Yeah. If you as a coach could kind of summarize for parents the difference or maybe the lack of a big difference between NCAA Division II and NCAA Division I. For me, it's nothing more than depth, but maybe you all can offer some insight as to, is there really any difference talent-wise between Division I and Division II?
I think depth's the biggest factor. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that we're, you know, equal to some of the SEC schools. Do I think we could go out there and really handle our own against the mid-major Division I's? Absolutely. That's who I'm recruiting against. I'm not recruiting against other D2 schools generally. I'm going after the high school and the JUCO guy that's getting recruited by that mid-major Division I guy and, you know, try to get them to come down here and be a part of something special. And obviously the location helps a lot. The Northeast guy, you know, comes down here. I believe we're at 10 guys from New Jersey and Philadelphia, mostly junior college guys. And, you know, they come down here and this time of year and walk out on our field and we got palm trees everywhere and it's 80 degrees. It's not that hard of a sell to get these guys to come down here and compete for us in that atmosphere.
How would you like potential families / student athletes to reach out to you as a staff? Do you prefer the social media aspect? Do you prefer the email aspect? How would you like a potential recruit to reach out to you?
Email's the best way. I'm on social media, you know, on X it's called now. And I get so many messages on that. It's hard to keep up with that. And, you know, just because I'm not always, I have my alerts turned off. Otherwise my phone would never stop. My email, I do check every single day. Like when I leave here tonight, you know, my email box will be empty. I go through it every day. It drives me nuts if I have, you know, stuff left to do or didn't check stuff. I don't want to miss an opportunity to be able to see a kid and get in contact with them, you know, early on. So the email is the best way. Plus it's easy for me. If you put a video link in there, doesn't need to be real long, you know, a couple minutes tops. And I'd rather see, you know, some swings in the cage from the side, from the back, same thing with the bullpens, as opposed to game footage. And, you know, every coach gets the email with the kid and it's five swings and it's five home runs. And then you look at his stats from high school and he's had five home runs in 3 years and that was all those swings. So that's not a true representation of what that kid is.
Well, I'm going to make sure to have every possible resource listed below for parents and student athletes. If you're listening on the podcast, we'll be sure to include it in the description. We'll have the social media handles for Coach Young. We'll have all the email addresses associated with the baseball program. But one thing I really want to make sure that I hammer home here is when it comes time to choose a college for a student athlete, whether that be at the completion as a high school student or as a junior college student athlete, I can assure you of one thing as it pertains to Barry University. The schedule that they play cannot be understated, because if you look at guys like Tino Martinez playing with the Yankees, the University of Tampa guy, if you take a spring vacation and go watch a Rollins versus Barry, a Lynn versus Barry, a UT versus Barry, you're going to see elite, and I cannot emphasize that enough, elite caliber student athletes. The term Division II does not determine the ability level of a student athlete. You need to find a place where, one, you're going to get developed and coached, and two, you're going to get to play against high level, play with and against high level caliber baseball student athletes. And I can assure you that Barry University is the top of everyone's list at the higher levels of baseball with regard to scouting. So when you watch this video, you listen to this, and you listen to Coach Young, I strongly recommend, wherever you're from, if you have the ability in the spring from February 1st through the end of April, go down. I mean, Miami, I mean, for me in Boston, I'd love to be in Miami February 1st. Take the time to go watch some of these games, and you'll see for yourself the level of baseball being played there is top flight caliber baseball. And it is a must view if you're on the fence between NCAA Division I, Division II, Division III. Take the time to go visit Miami, first of all, as a city, and two, Barry University as a potential landing spot for your student athlete. Coach Young, thank you so much. Huge fan of the conference that you guys play in. It's been a pleasure to speak with you and meet with you. I don't know if you're heading over to the ABCA, but I'll be there, and I'll be in your neck of the woods in March, and I look forward to coming down and watching a game.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Walter. And you know, we'll connect out at the convention. We'll be out there as a staff. And obviously, when you're down here, man, we'd love to get you over to a game and meet some of the guys. And you know, just real quick, you talked about Tino Martinez and stuff, and I'm sure a lot of people know Yan Gomes.
Oh yeah,
he played at Barry, and we're actually Barry's going to induct him in our Wall of Fame here at the end of January. So it'll be awesome to have him back on campus and being around our guys. And you know, a lot of the alumni will be coming out for that event too.
Well, when you start talking about Yan Gomes, Tino Martinez, we're talking about prolific big league athletes. And so they don't ask you where you played. They want to know how you played. And if you're an elite caliber student athlete, especially somebody that loves the game and is passionate about the game, you know, a school like Barry University is going to take you, develop you, prepare you, not only between the lines, but off the diamond as well. So, Coach, thank you very much. I am going to take you up on that offer. I will be down in Miami in the spring, and I do want to take in a couple of games. But I will definitely see you at the ABCA. And thank you so much for joining us today. And for parents, all of that information pertaining to Barry University will be in the description below, whether it's the podcast or our YouTube video. And please subscribe to either the podcast and or the YouTube channel. It helps us spread the word about college baseball and all of the programs at all the levels and divisions within it. Brett, thank you so much, and have a great holiday.
Thanks, Walter. You too.
All right. Thank you.